This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yes, sir. It's hour number two of the G-Back Nation. We are live at the Professional Bull Riding Inaugural Draft at Texas Live. It goes down here in 3 hours. You are invited. All the riders are here. A rider named Dalen Swearingen. The Iceman Pacheco is here, Ezekiel Mitchell, Dalton Castle. Richard Childress owns the Carolina team. He's here. Michael Delcone of the Austin team, he is here. Okay, so it is an enchanted evening of sport here, and especially if you like rodeo, come on down here and say hi at Texas Live. It is time now for Eric Chiafalo to lead us in a wonderful new segment that we're going to feature Mondays at 3 o'clock. Best of the weekend. Here he is, Chief.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Mr. Gavin Dawson. Great to be in on a Monday afternoon here in the G-Bag Nation. What a weekend it was, boys. We got some good local content to bring you. Don't you worry. Don't you worry, Walchuk. I will introduce you to my good friend, Skeet, from Loving County here in just a few minutes.
Sounds beautiful.
And I also got to ask you all, Chuck, about what went down in Plano over the weekend as well, because we have a man that is no longer at large, but it was a hell of a moment went down in Plano as well. So we'll get to that. But first, I want to do a couple of things, the first of which is shout out to RJ Choppy from Sean and RJ The Morning Show. He just handed us via Twitter the DFW TV ratings for Sunday. We have the PGA Championship final round. Do you want to do some guessing here?
No, please don't. Okay, make me guess on that darn thing. I don't like numbers.
PGA Championship final round, 2.9. And it peaked at a 3.6 here in the DFW. Now, I would like to get you guys' thoughts. Would you guys like to guess on the ratings for the Mavericks, Golden State, Game 3 last night? What do you think the rating was for that? What do you think maybe it peaked
5.6?
At? 5.6 says the General Gavin Dawson. Zach Walchuk, what 4, would you 8. Like to do? 4.8. You guys have no...
I'll go 6.9 here.
Okay, I like where your head's at, Peyton. You actually win.
Give me a 7.77.
The MFFLs came out of the woodworks. It was a 9.9.
Let's go.
9.9.
Oh, heck yes.
Nice work, gentlemen
peaked
and ladies.
Peaked at an 11.1.
Baskey was saying we had terrible fans.
Well, apparently at the AAC, I wasn't there. It's hard to say completely from my own vantage point with the TV, but it didn't come across overly ruckus, and Baskey's not the only person that I've seen on the internet talk about the lack of a home court advantage.
Yes.
Kind the of longer we go, the more the tickets cost.
Yeah,
the lower the volume.
That's true.
The more it's to be seen, not to turn up.
I don't know how we stop that from happening, though. I don't think there's any way to save this. You know?
I mean, we had an amazing first two rounds.
We did.
With the sports passion.
And I was looking at trying to get in the building as well. And I just couldn't afford it. I'm still waiting to get, you know, our first kind of couple of paychecks where we're making, like, decent, adult money. And I still thought maybe I'm just going to go ahead and get in debt and just pull the trigger on this sucker just to be in the building, but I just didn't do it. I don't know if there's a way that we can fix this so we can still get our true passionate loud fans in there, but people that are leaving the arena with 5 minutes left, and then, you know, Luka cuts it to five with like a minute and a half left. I know ultimately the result didn't go the way we wanted it to, but come on, we need to be loud and proud.
Yeah, we got to make like a flex section, like, you don't like sports, you're just here because you want to put a picture on social media. And just have it be like,
I don't know,
make it a VIP. Yes. So they'll be like, oh, I'm so VIP, right? But we need the culture of loud, proud, and nasty to be happening everywhere else.
Yeah,
in the arena.
I want to get loud, proud, and nasty.
Yeah, yeah. Walchuk sort of embodies all three of those things.
Yeah, he does.
We need to put like a forum club in there.
There you go.
You know, yeah. And they have, okay. have the, you know, the wine and cheese crowd in the forum club.
There you go.
And then everyone else can be really creating that home field, home court advantage.
Yeah, we'll be the general population that's there to just get turned. okay, now we also have Best of the Weekend here, the G-Bag Nation live from Texas Live. We have Amari Cooper, Did you guys see the team photo for the Cleveland Browns? Remember Deshaun Watson decided to load up a private jet, take the offense minus Baker Mayfield out to the Bahamas and have a nice little chemistry team bonding sort of event go down. And so there was a nice team picture, of course, right? Team picture, we're on the beach, we're on the sand, let's flex on everybody, we're in the Bahamas. We're the new Cleveland Browns. Well, one of the new members of the Cleveland Browns is, of course, our former own wide receiver, Mr. Amari Cooper. Well, he started getting roasted a little bit, or a lot of it, on the internet because the team photo is everybody on the beach, okay, all the guys, and every single one of them is wearing swim trunks and like a t-shirt or a bro tank or no shirt at all. Maybe they got the shirt up on the head, something like that. Typical beach attire. And then standing right there front and center in the middle is an all-too-clothed Amari Cooper. Have you guys seen this photo?
Yeah. He's even got an undershirt on.
Yeah, he's like two layers up top. He's got a long-sleeve shirt. He's wearing pants. He's wearing shoes. He's got a full-on fit going on, whereas everybody else is wearing normal beach attire, and he's standing there. Of course, he's not really smiling, but he's got an entire outfit on the beach, sneakers, pants, long-sleeve shirt. It's like, what is this guy doing? It's hilarious.
You think he's shy? Like, he's body conscious?
Oh, man, no. He looks incredible. Like, if you see Amari Cooper up close, you're like, gosh, like on TV, you're not a guy that comes across overly, like, jacked or ripped. But, like, dude, Amari Cooper is doing great for himself.
Pants and a hoodie.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's wearing a long-sleeve hoodie. He's wearing full-length pants. He's wearing sneakers. Everybody else is, like, barefoot and in a T-shirt and swim trunks.
I think he's I march to the beat of my own drum guy, and everybody else feels pressure like, oh, I'm going to the beach, I gotta have the right outfit. And Amari's just more like, I just want to be comfortable. You know, I'm just going to wear what I would like to be having on today.
Just all the sand, though, getting into your sneakers.
Yeah, I would be uncomfortable wearing that to the beach. I think I'd be hot.
Yeah, you could be. I don't know what the temperature is.
But that's fair.
Yeah.
I assume the Bahamas is hot this time of year.
The worst thing, though, is the sneakers. Yes. I think you could pretty much deal with a little bit too much extra clothing for the temperature, but getting sand in your shoes and then having to continue on throughout your day, that could be a major buzzkill for an afternoon / evening in a vacation spot.
I think it's the lower half that kills me more. You're right. The sneakers is a huge part of it, but long pants at the beach. I'm trying to, like, at the Bahamas. I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out about Amari, but the internet had some fun with him.
I got to interject with this. While we're just on the conversation of, like, tank tops and swim trunks and stuff, I'm going to float this weekend in San Marcos.
Oh, cool.
Now, my sister sent me, because I didn't know for sure where I was going to go float at first, my sister sent me an article. Apparently in New Braunfels, there is a backload of fecal matter now.
Oh.
So if you're planning on doing a float trip in the New Braunfels area.
And that's a river. That's not a lake. Must be a lot of...
There's an issue. So just be careful about, you know, potential poo water.
Okay.
All right. We continue best of the weekend here with our guy John Daly making an appearance. Always good when John can...
a heart attack waiting to happen.
Yes, certainly. One of the greatest athletic feats in the history of this country, John Daly. He is very white with the hair, very white with the beard. He looks like a drunken, out of shape Santa Claus. You'd be like, that sounds a little bit redundant, but it's like it's an extra level of out of shape that even the real Santa you think wouldn't possess.
The face is like perma-red. I don't know if that's booze or cardio, but he's a very interesting looking guy these days.
He is. Well, he made an appearance.
I think he's just naturally always out of breath.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Well, when you chain smoke 21 heaters in an 18-hole round.
It's a five-hour period.
You wash it down with a bunch of Diet Cokes, Gavin Dawson style. I mean, it's hard to stay in tip-top condition, but he finds a way to pull it off. Now, he was on live television. He was smoking a heater from his RV in a church parking lot in Oklahoma. Very on brand for him this weekend. I guess it's the Sunday morning Joe Buck cast. And so there's like John Hamm. It's a bunch of like pretty famous people. And it's like they're all zooming in from different places and just like chit-chatting with Joe Buck, I guess. It's not something I've ever seen. But now I'm going to be interested because of what John Daly was doing. So, yes, he started off his Sunday morning by joining the Joe Buck cast while ripping heaters in his RV parked in a Tulsa church parking lot. And he was quoted at one point They asked him, hey, what was going through your head Saturday night leading the PGA? Like, you're rocking and rolling here. You're actually playing well despite your poor physical condition. And he responds by saying, I probably went to Hooters and had three pitchers of beer. Hell, I didn't care.
That was the legend of this guy, you know? And he just, you know, he was the ultimate beer-drinking, heavy-set athlete, I think, of our time.
Right.
The 1930s has Babe Ruth. We have John Daly.
He is a true
and
American
I think we
icon.
Win.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, man, he is absolutely.
He's like the George Foreman of golf. There's another guy. He got older, he got more and more out of shape, but still kept kicking ass.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
That's like degree of difficulty, right? You got to score him higher, I think, amongst all legendary athletes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the respect level for a guy like that who's like, hey, I'm going to sabotage myself.
Yeah.
And I'm still going to find myself being very respectable in my field at the highest level of golf. Like, that's next
he's
level.
He's doing it for all of us.
It's really good.
He's a man of the people.
I have a Hooters sponsorship. I've made enough money off golf. I'm just going to live exactly how I want, and if it's good enough to win, that's fine. But what I'm not going to do is stop drinking beer and ripping heaters.
Right.
So that's what's not going to happen.
Him and Blake Bortles would be really good buddies.
Oh, yes, they would. Yes, they would. And then, and I'm trying to find the guy's name. For some reason, I can't find his name here in the article, but there was a great airport fight on video. That was circling the Twitter webs over the weekend as well. And it is an ex-Denver Bronco, current CFL wide receiver, and he totally took a United Airlines kiosk clerk who looks a little bit like DJ Khaled at the Newark airport, took him right to the woodshed, Mike Leach style. Okay, like it was
game and concussion.
Oh yeah, he
made
tore
him sit
up
in the dark room for 5 hours.
Another one.
The dude is bleeding from his eyes by the end of this.
No.
Like, from his eyes?
Yeah, well, from one of his eyes, I guess.
Oh,
I
the
should
humanity.
Say.
Oh,
but it was, and the thing was, is the United Airlines worker, he was the first to throw the punch.
So he is not even going to get charged.
No.
This is self-defense.
Well, the ex-NFL player, the CFL wide receiver guy whose name is escaping me, he did get arrested in the moment. But it does come across, like from the video that we all saw on Twitter, it's like 45 seconds long. He's standing there. They're clearly in a bit of a verbal back and forth. And then the airline guy clubs him, and he's like, steps back, and he's like, did you really just do this? I can't believe you did this. You're right, and now I'm going to completely embarrass you. The dude ended up like on the surveyor, the belt.
Or the conveyor belt.
The conveyor belt,
With all the luggage, coming around.
Yeah, not with the – it was like when you go to check in and they put it on the one behind, like the kiosk stuff.
Oh, okay.
He like
ends up
on that
he's
thing.
He's just like luggage surfing.
He knocked him past the customer service desk?
Yeah, he tore him up really, really good. And then the guy ends up getting up. The airline guy gets up, who looks like DJ Khaled at the Newark airport. He gets up and he wants more.
No.
He wants more.
He had to be concussed.
No one to say
where he was.
And fortunately, the ex-NFL player, who tore this dude up, he had a cooler heads prevailed. He's like, I already dominated you. You're bleeding from everywhere. You're a schmuck, and I'm not going to continue doing this. So kudos to him for not jumping back into just totally tearing this guy. But he tore the dude up, and then the guy came back for more, and he's like, listen, I've embarrassed you enough.
Man, getting some texts in, some people are saying there's more of the video, and the football player might be a little bleeped in this circumstance.
Uh-oh.
A little bit of an agitator.
Yeah, we got to look up some of the full video here. Also, apparently, this water might be freezing that we're going to go float. Thank you for the 903. Maybe I should rethink this entire thing. And we got a birthday shout-out. Kenley, who is 7 and listening from the 214. Happy birthday, Kenley. We love you. Thank you so much for listening.
Okay, yes, absolutely.
I think the airport would be the worst place to get into a fight because
you're surrounded.
You're not going to your destination.
Right.
Okay, the trip is off. You might get an airport ban. I don't know, a year, 6 months, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't really escape without there being lots of video and your documentation and authorities to block your path and arrest you. It's like you got to be a special kind of irritated or angered. I think I can put up with quite a bit of BS once I set foot on the airplane. There's a bad one.
Oh,
you know,
man.
You're a disruption on the airplane. You especially aren't going to be flying anywhere for a long time. You better get yourself a Madden Cruiser at that point.
Amen. Well said. All right, do you guys want the Plano fire truck, or do you guys want my guy Skeet out in Loving County?
We got to get to Skeet.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I thankfully got away with the fire truck thing. We don't need to talk about it.
Okay, so the headline reads, Loving County judge arrested for cattle theft. I'm like, okay, very good. I'm intrigued. And this is, of course, a Texas county. It's he's a top-seated official, Judge Skeet Jones of Loving County, top-seated official in the least populated county in the state of Texas, and he was arrested on Friday. He's accused of livestock theft and organized criminal activity. So apparently, basically, a special ranger with the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association confirmed Judge Skeet Jones and three others, including a county employee, are accused of picking up a stray cattle and just selling them, I guess. And you can get some top dollar for that kind of stuff. I mean, that's why people do it. Like, there's a lot of money in that game there. So I guess Judge Skeet Jones and his guys were like, all right, when we stumble upon a couple of stray livestock.
You go get them, Skeet.
Yeah, and Skeet's wife was there. Like, she saw it. She watched it happen. Oh, she just kept saying, Skeet, no, please, no,
Skeet.
But he kept doing it. And apparently Judge Skeet has been in trouble before. He was reprimanded by the State Commission on Judicial Conduct in 2016 for changing speeding tickets into parking violations. My guy, Skeet. The drivers would pay a higher fine but keep a clean driving record. So
that's misconduct?
A little give, a little take, I guess so.
Yeah, that's good judge work if you ask me.
Yeah, Skeet's kind of the man right now, but he's been popped before. This is nothing new for him, but salute to Judge Skeet Jones, man.
Yes,
that's
sir.
A hell of a weekend.
Salute to you for a weekend wrap-up right here. The best of the weekend with Eric Chiafalo every Monday afternoon at 3 o'clock right here on The Fan. We are broadcasting live at Texas Live, where a revolutionary new league is taking over the Pro Bowl riders, okay?
Yes.
2022 is the inaugural season. The draft happens at 6 o'clock. If you love rodeoing, you got to get here because all the top guys are in town to participate, get drafted. Eight teams from eight cities, including Fort Worth and Austin, will be in this this new PBR league. Okay, Jimbo Fisher, round two, taking on not only the Aggie critics, but also the media. And we'll get you some of that coming up next here in the GBAG Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back, Nation. We are live at Texas Live, where the professional bull riders have their inaugural team series draft tonight. It's very exciting news in the world of rodeo, and you are invited. They'll be up there doing the draft starting at 6 o'clock. Eight teams from eight different cities, including Austin and Fort Worth. They're going to participate over there at Dickey's Arena in Fort Worth. But right here, we have some college football content for you. GBAG Nation, thought you'd appreciate it as Jimbo Fisher continues to defend his recruiting class. He has more words about Nick Saban, and he's going to go after the media as well. This is good. Segment's brought to you by Frankel & Frankel. texting and driving or drinking and driving are both selfish acts, because it's not just about you disregarding your own safety. It's a disregard for someone else's life. A reminder from Franklin Frankel. Visit truckwreck.com or call 214-333-3333. Yeah, this aired last night with Jimbo Fisher on KSAT down there. He visited to speak with an alumni club, and some of these are great. He says, I just researched this. Of the 11 guys we have in place that came early, one guy has an NIL deal. So all these stories you're hearing are complete lies. I don't know what to believe. I just like the drama. I mean, college recruiting and college sports is so crooked in one way or another. I don't really care, you know, if you're cheating or obeying all the rules. And I don't think that should really be your defense. We only got one NIL guy. You should be – NIL is the way that it happens now, Nick. You know, if you're not giving out NIL deals to your players, I think you should be hiding in shame. You know, if you're Jimbo, you should be like, shoot, yeah, we're the place to go. You want to get paid? Come on over to A&M. We got a bunch of rich alumni. They will, they own businesses, and they will pay you to endorse their products. It's a win-win for everybody. Come on down. But, you know, Jimbo's taking a slightly different approach to it, and that is, you know, basically putting front and center the qualities of his program. He's saying we don't need money to recruit. And I don't know how you feel about that, guys, but I just love this drama.
Yeah, it's outstanding, but it is funny how everybody is completely jumping in feet first into this NIL thing. And by everybody, I just mean all these big-time universities. They're like, okay, the playing field is now it's a different playing field, and so we're going to go ahead and get involved here. Everybody's doing it, but everybody wants to kind of act like they're not. It's a weird thing. Like Nick Saban's like, I don't know, all these other teams.
They're doing it really, more.
Yeah, I don't understand why they're doing this. And Jimbo's like, I mean, it's not NIL. Trust me, it's not. We're just, you know, we have all these awesome facilities. We're Aggie football. Everybody wants to play with Aggie football. I don't understand the dynamic of, like, I guess it's still so new and it still feels like this thing that, like, we've been paying players for forever, but we've kept it under wraps, and now it's just like this big thing that everybody can
talk
about.
Can we not talk about it?
But I want to keep acting like these guys, we're not doing anything about money and cheating. It's just funny, the dynamics right now.
Yeah,
like,
really
everybody's
weird.
Using it, but everybody wants to act like they're not.
You know what's amazing about the Saban audio is I really don't even think he was that anti- about the NIL and the paying the players.
That's another really interesting dynamic.
I think it was really him being like, guys, we need to up our game here.
Yeah.
You know, or else A&M's going to start kicking our ass on a regular basis, because we know they've got bukus of cash. I mean, we got Jimbo that's talking about he's not going to go and take this USC or Oklahoma job because he's got farms, okay? We're talking plural. So A&M's kicking him a bunch of stuff. We know they've got the funds. I need you guys to go ahead and start all of a sudden digging in your pockets so we can go ahead and maintain this powerhouse we've built here in Alabama.
Yeah, that's another interesting thing. Like, he was just talking to his alumni, trying to get them fired up to jump in the game, because this is the modern game. And if we don't have – I don't know. Is this the end of Bama? Like, do they have – I'm sure they have a lot of successful alumni and rich people, but do they have it on the level of an Aggie or a Longhorn or some of these others, USC?
I don't think they have it on that level. But I will say, anytime Nick Saban has complained and whined about stuff like that, he was even doing it about the spread offense, right, this up-tempo offense. He's like, oh, we can't do this. This isn't good for college football. Then eventually he adapted, and he decided to bring in Steve Sarkisian and Lane Kiffin and these new age offensive coordinators, and he adapted his style of offense. So he's going to do the same thing and get on board with the NIL, but, of course, he's going to try and whine and complain a little bit while he still can, just to try and go ahead and ruffle the feathers of his opponents. And he probably knows what makes Jimbo tick. And he's easily gotten under the skin of Jimbo Fisher. So, I mean, he's probably a master manipulator, and this is exactly what he wanted.
Mm. Well, I tell you what, I think it's exactly what the Aggies wanted, too, with a national championship-winning coach and a number one recruiting class. I don't know. I think that Nick Saban is, for the first time, a little bit worried, and he needs to get his alumni fired up. Otherwise, they're going to lose the arms race, because it's just a matter of time. This is the beginning. In 10 years down the road, the schools with the most money, the most resources, are going to figure out a way to compensate the kids the most. And, you know, at that point, you're going to have to come up with an endowment or something to play catch up. But Fisher then went after the media, saying it was written on social media. You got news channels that believed it, and you believed it. He began questioning directly the reporter Greg Simmons on the matter. I'm asking you, did you do your research? No, you just assumed. And that's the way this world goes now. As soon as it's written on social media and someone says it, you believe it. So where does that put you guys as reporters? Nobody wants the truth. You want a story and a click and a hit. I think there's a lot of truth to that. You know, things get tweeted enough and echoed enough, and it becomes very quickly accepted as, okay, this is true. You know, this is a real story. And that story specifically that he was talking about was the one that the Aggies had a $30 million fund for NIL deals. And I don't know. Maybe this is going to get really tricky in how you set these deals up, and you have to toe the line and you can't have essentially a slush fund. Or maybe we're going to everybody creates a slush fund. I would be all for that. Just, you know, let the universities have their resources and start compensating these kids, you know, however they see fit. You know, there's nothing wrong with an open market. We figured out a great way to not take money out of the current industry, the current pipelines that are going to all the school employees and the coaches. You know, we've just added additional revenue. I don't feel like, why do the coaches feel such a need to be still in control of this? Just let it burn and then adapt to it. That's what the greatest coaches do.
Yeah, but these guys are so used to, you mentioned, being in control. That's mm-hmm. that's who they are. I mean, Nick Saban runs the entire state of Alabama, basically. And so these guys are used to being in the highest level of power, and then all of a sudden, okay, now not everything is in my control, and it can throw you out of whack a little bit. Yeah. Now, one of my favorite little twists on this, too, was Steve Spurrier, the old ball coach. He chimed in on the situation in regards to Nick Saban versus Jimbo Fisher. And he basically just said, quote, "I don't know why Jimbo Fisher is mad at Nick Saban. Did Saban say something that wasn't true?" And he just left it right there. And so Spurrier's going like, hey, it's not like Saban's saying anything that's incorrect. He's saying things that are apparently factual, according to Steve Spurrier, but I think it's the idea that he just put it out there like that. Like, there's a lot of things that we know. There's a lot of facts that you don't just put out on the table for, you know, in front of a microphone. Yeah. So of course Jimbo Fisher's going to be upset about it. But Steve's like, hey, I mean, what he's saying is true. You can't say he's lying. You can just be upset at the fact that he's telling you, I guess, what the facts are.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, is there some fact checking going on? Because it seems like Jimbo was insisting none of this is true. And Saban in his side, and including Spurrier, saying, man, this is absolutely true. I love it. Open market equals more competition, says the 440. Sure. Nick said he wants more parity. Well, this is how you get it. Texas is going to be back, says the 214. Quinn Ewers and 2 5-star offensive linemen, freshmen that are coming in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the offensive linemen at Texas are. They're getting like, what is it, 50, 80? I mean, there's a really big number. Is it $100,000?
Yes.
Per?
Yeah. They signed a big NIL deal, and they did just recruit the heck out of a bunch of stud freshmen, a bunch of this freshman class that's coming in now. I mean, that's a lot to ask from freshmen that are coming in right away, and they basically need to retool that whole thing. But I'm fascinated with what's going to happen with Arch Manning. Hmm. And what his NIL deal is going to look like.
Oh, it's going to be the fatty, fatty boom bob, you know? NIL deals.
He's going to break the bank for NIL deals. Another thing that's interesting is because Bijan Robinson from Texas got, what was it, Lamborghini?
Yeah, Lamborghini of Austin. And Bijan Robinson was actually courtside at the Mavs game last night. I saw him dapping up with Pat Mahomes, who was wearing a throwback Dirk jersey, which was very fun. Him and Micah Parsons were kind of kicking it as well courtside. So Bijan Robinson, maybe a low-key Mavs fan, or he's just got the cheddar now to say, I'm going to go to a big Western Conference Finals game.
Good for the running backs. I mean, we had this conversation you know, last week, and I'm all about, you know, at that position, and it's nothing against these players, but that's a turn and burn. You want a guy every 4 years. I think you should be looking to change out your running back.
That's in the NFL?
That's just how it should be. But I think that's definitely the position where the NIL, they need to make the most of what they can. And good for Bijan Robinson for cashing in on that Lamborghini deal.
If you're going to use up my body for 3 years and, you know, turn me over to the NFL, maybe as heading towards damaged goods already, I think, especially in the world of college football where the running game is more of a factor if you do it right and if you have the right guy, he can, because those college running backs are already NFL ready for 3 years.
Right.
And they're playing against college defenses. I mean, they can really do some serious damage for you. So, yeah, that is exciting, especially the guys that become household names and get the ball like 300 times a season. Okay, will the NFL oust Daniel Snyder? Yeah, sounds like they're looking into it. According to a report in USA Today, owners are considering drastic options to get rid of Snyder, including a possible vote to remove him.
Thank God.
Owners are already counting votes to secure the 24 they would need to oust Snyder. I don't know. I just don't know how you play this if you're an owner, because the idea is, in a lot of these billionaire cultures, they all have skeletons in their closet.
Boom.
Can you vote out Daniel Snyder without him airing your dirty laundry?
Right.
I mean, how do you play this? You don't want to make it worse. I guess maybe a huge buyout? You know, hey, you got to move and, you know, we're going to make it worth your while or something like that. I don't know. It's a very sticky situation.
Oh, for sure. I mean, but you see these guys still end up, was it Jerry Richardson in Carolina with the NFL?
Yeah,
of course,
right.
We all know about Donald Sterling in the NBA. These guys still get to – it's not like it's just taken away from them and they don't get any financial benefits from – they still get to sell their team and cash out in a massive way. They're still going to make crazy money on being able to sell their team. It's not, okay, we're taking this away from you. You don't get to sell your team and you just – you leave out of here and you're just in the hole. You get no money, in return for giving up your team. So he's still going to get to sell his team, make a ton of money, and it's just like, hey, there's enough of us that are like, we need to get you out of here. But you are playing with fire a little bit, especially some of the owners who know specifically, like maybe they were close at one point or another with Dan Snyder, and they both know things about each other, and you're like, man, I know how much dirt Dan has on me, and we got it. It does have to be some level of amicable, though you can't imagine Dan Snyder's just going to give away his team here, of course, even though he's going to sell it and make money on it. There's an interesting way you have to play this, because you don't want him leaving, being completely upset and on fire and ready to just bring down everyone's house.
I mean, if you have enough dinner with people in the NFL, you'll come across some people who say there's a cheerleader video like that for multiple more teams.
I'm sure that there are.
Football.
And it's funny how the NFL is able to go ahead and just, you know, we're going to turn and look the other way for all of these things that Dan Snyder has been accused of. But the second it's okay, now you've got two separate accounting books, which are now messing with all the other team's money.
Yeah.
And it's our owner's pocketbooks. You're messing with our dollars. Now we're talking about maybe holding the vote to get you the bleep out of here, Dan Snyder.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe whoever votes no on that should be investigated.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But
if you're voting no, I'm looking at you like sideways, like, what are you hiding?
Yeah, for? I mean, you're basically saying, yes, I'm doing some shady, shady things.
Well, and I think you make a great point about the money, because ultimately, as sad as it is, we all could power rank the real reasons why this guy should not have any type of real authority over human beings, from all the ridiculous stuff with the cheerleaders, the workplace environment, and that stuff, and nothing really lit a fire under the other owners until it started messing with their own pockets.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's ultimately what this comes down to, and it's something that we have to have the reality of. The real reason why the owners are going to try and get him out, it's because of their own pockets, even though there's a long laundry list of, like, morality, human reasons that would say this guy should have been out probably a long time ago.
Yeah, I think it's important to acknowledge and recognize. I think that's a really good point. Okay, Ramona Shelburne, ESPN Insider, have you guys booked her? Ramona's going to join us coming
Ramona,
up at 4.
Ramona's been texting me back and forth. I believe she's going to join us around 4:05-ish is the latest from Ramona.
Okay, right, what's on your confidence meter that she does not stand you up personally?
100%.
100%?
Yeah,
okay.
I don't think Ramona's going to stand
100% confidence. Look at that.
No. So she said, 4 o'clock. She said she might just be about 5 minutes behind, so it might not be right at the top of the hour. But Ramona's, we've had her on once before. She was great. She's going to call in.
I'll give you $100 if you say, hey, we're on Tom Coughlin time, sweetheart. We're going to get you on 5 minutes late is actually 10 minutes late around here.
I'm not a bleephole like Tom Coughlin.
Ramona is a great NBA reporter, and she'll join us coming up at 4 o'clock for her thoughts in the Western Conference Finals. Are there any juicy Mavs team-building angles to get into yet? You never know what's stirring in those insider circles, so we'll ask Ramona all about that coming up at 4. We are outside the Miller Tavern at Texas Live, where the Professional Bull Riders are going to have their inaugural team series draft coming up at 6 o'clock right over there on that stage. And if you're into rodeo, you're going to want to come down here to Texas Live and join in the festivities. We go around the rim with Eric Chiafalo. Get top stories from pro basketball coming up next here in the GVAC Nation.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Thank you very much, Peyton, in for Lucius today. The Pro Bowl riders have a new team series in the inaugural draft. The biggest thing to happen in bull riding and rodeo in 30 years is happening tonight right here in Arlington at Texas Live. That's where we're broadcasting from. And at 6 o'clock, you'll be able to hear it in the background, but you should really get down here if you love rodeo and hang out with these guys. All the big names are here, the big owners. Lots of celebrities around the world of sport. It's time now for Around the Rim with Eric Chiafalo. Here he is, Chief.
Yes, sir. Thank you. All right. Right now here in the G-Bag Nation at 3:43 on a Monday afternoon, live from Texas Live. It's time to go ahead and cut the lights out, put the kids to bed for an afternoon nap. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go all the way around the rim.
Rain dance.
All right, so I want to come out of the gates with this. I will give you the most relatable thing a pro athlete or a former pro athlete has ever said here in just a minute, but I wanted to ask you guys about what went through your – did you take it as personally as I did last night when Andrew Wiggins posterized Luka into seemingly next season? Because my initial reaction, it was like a gut punch, man. Like, I felt personally attacked by it. It was one of those things where – I'm, like, leaning forward and, you know, excited. I'm watching the game, and then that happens, and you kind of just sink back into your chair, and you get this crappy feeling in your stomach. Like, I was game planning for what I was going to whip up in the kitchen as, like, a post-game little midnight munchie snack, and I lost my appetite as soon as that happened. It stung. Like, I felt personally like, oh, my God, our guy just got kind of murdered.
Yeah, that was one of the all-time posterizations. I think back to Clyde Drexler over Bill Cartwright in the 1992 finals as a postseason equivalent.
Man.
It was exceptional. It actually threw me into just denial. It made me just kick out all thought of what we were watching transpire, right? And I've tried to repress that memory as, you know, Monday picked up. But I can't get it out of my head. There's nothing you can do. He'll never live that down.
No, ever.
That's an all-timer.
It's a tough one, man.
You got to win championships so you can joke about that one day.
That will be the single – like, when we look back at the Andrew Wiggins highlight tape, and it'll be, like, 5 minutes long, unfortunately, that's going to be the number one on the highlight list for Andrew Wiggins.
It'll appear at least 12 times in that film.
For sure. Yeah, they'll just sprinkle dinkle it all over the place.
It's the moment he arrived.
Oh, my gosh. It hurts
so
bad.
I was rooting for the offensive foul. I was like, yes, he absolutely.
So was I.
I was hoping there was a push-off.
He hit him in the face. Yeah. What are we doing here? You idiot. You schmucks. Come on. This is a terrible call. But, no, it was –
it hurt, right?
It was a real posterization, and I got very queasy.
Yeah.
And I felt for Luka in that moment, and I wanted to try and convince myself that Draymond Green's comments post-game, like, we respect Luka so much that it makes it better. And in reality, it was like, no, he is just talking up the dunk even more, so the dunk's even greater that way. And so, no, nothing makes me feel better about it at all.
The 817 on the truckwreck.com fan text is alleging a teabagging situation. Was there a bit of a Wiggins teabag?
I think he
on
was
the
getting
forehead?
Out of the way, maybe on the shoulder.
A borderline mushroom stamp situation, because that always adds to the saltiness of the moment as well. When that happens to you,
there's a moment in everybody's career where you decide to not challenge as many shots and you start making more business decisions. I think that's what that was for Luka last night.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is like. Again, it felt really personal. I felt like I got dunked on, but there is something to like it's the guy. Like you see posterizations plenty, and it's an exciting thing. But it's rare that it's on the guy,
right?
And so the fact that it was on Luke, it was just a tough thing.
It's a shame that he's the only one that can collect a damn rebound, so he's got to be down there in the paint to be able to do that.
No,
sure. You know, I mean, who else is going to be able to pick up the slack?
Well, I thought we got bailed out by the offensive foul at first, but then they had to review it, and I was like, no, please don't be, man.
I was with you. I was still trying to pray and hope and pray and.
and hope.
Didn't happen.
Well, and I do think that helped the situation just in terms of the emotion kind of got sucked out of the room immediately because you're like, okay, is there an offensive foul? And so it's not quite as like a heightened level of emotion as it would have been had there been no call and you just move on and now Luka's got to dribble the ball up the court while Wiggins is guarding him for 94 feet. Like, that would have been an even worse situation. But now we know the dunk counts. That highlight will live on forever, and it's extremely disappointing. And I will say, like, the athleticism of Andrew Wiggins has been like at an all-time high of just showing like, okay, real athleticism, and you're like the fourth guy on the team.
You can
really show it off because like there's no pressure on him to really do much, play some defense. His putbacks, his athletic ability has been put at the forefront of just like, oh my gosh, we're all witnessing what just a next level super freak athlete can look like when he doesn't have to do everything and he can just sneak his athleticism into little moments for these putback jams, and you're like, I can't stand you, Andrew Wiggins.
It makes you jealous of the depth of Golden State. It is certainly Andrew Wiggins, and Steph said it last night in his post-game words with Ali LaForce. Like, he's never been on this stage to be able to showcase it, and this really has been the Andrew Wiggins series. I will say what made me feel worse, though, was the damn –
He's all right.
Jordan – he's okay. He's all right. The Jordan Poole 3. That's what really
– Well, that was the dagger.
Yeah, that's what made me cry.
Okay, now we also need to point out a couple of things around the rim here. G-Bag Nation live from Texas Live. We have a couple of final candidates, and we can talk with ESPN insider Ramona Shelburne about this here in a few minutes because she's obviously super plugged in living in Los Angeles with this Lakers team. But it looks like they have a few final candidates here for their head coaching position. But one of them was they were hoping was going to be former NBA player, Michigan coach, the musher himself, if you go back to the college basketball season, if you remember that, Juwan Howard. He recently declined a Los Angeles Lakers overture on the franchise's head coaching job. Hmm. So now here's one of the big reasons, because that's a little bit shocking. I know that's his alma mater, so it might be a bit of a dream job situation. But, man, the Lakers come knocking on your door. You're at least going to listen and get a good feel for it. Apparently, his two sons, Jace and Jet, are on the Michigan basketball team.
Oh, yeah. So, a little bit of a deal breaker there.
And you can understand that, right?
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Coach 100%. Dawson.
You'd love to coach your kids.
Yeah.
I think you'd also feel sort of obligated to stand by Michigan, not only because you played there, but they stuck with you.
Right.
They stuck with you in a downtime. That'd be kind of weird timing. Plus, who knows what's going on with the Lakers right now, you know?
Right.
I'm interested in that Lakers job, but I want to be the next guy after LeBron's gone and you've rebuilt and you've drafted and maybe we have cap space to go
sign a
superstar.
That's interesting. I was wondering if maybe he didn't get an assurance that he was going to have LeBron there.
Yeah.
And maybe he was like, I'm only coming if I know that I can coach LeBron. Hmm. Maybe he didn't get that, but coaching your own kids certainly would be a big win.
Although there is a downside. At some point, apparently Friday night, Abby handed me her watch that I was supposed to take care of, and I lost it, you know?
Oh.
Yeah.
Have you ever had some parents complain about favoritism towards Abby at all?
No.
Because I always
wonder
about
they probably
about
have
that.
Thought it a couple of times. Yeah.
Maybe,
yeah,
oh, for sure. He's just giving
Yeah, there's a downside to it.
Minutes.
Yeah, and if you're Juwan Howard, you have to be aware of that. Like,
am
I showing favoritism? Do I need to take her out of the game? I try to take her out of the game first and make sure she rotates through defense, you know, but you have to be aware of that, you know. My dad was so aware of it, he just benched me for an entire season one year. I was like, Dad, okay, they get the point.
That's good. That's good. Did you deserve it? Did you deserve it?
I did. I was like the 14th best player.
Okay, there you go.
I played every now and then.
Well, we have the finalists for that Lakers head coaching position. Looks like it's going to be Bucks assistant Darvin Ham, Warriors assistant Kenny Atkinson, former head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. Then you have former Trailblazers coach and former Dallas Mavericks assistant coach Terry Stotts. So those are going to be three of the finalists for that position to be the Lakers head coach. Tonight we have Eastern Conference Finals in Boston. It is game four with the Celtics trailing the Heat 2-1. No Tyler Hero dealing with a groin injury for the Miami Heat. So that's a big one. Jimmy Butler had some knee swelling, knee contusion during game three. So he ends up exiting that game. But the Heat are still able to hold on and get that victory. Jason Tatum was sort of nowhere to be found. It was Jaylen Brown having to do all the offensive heavy lifting in game three. Jimmy Butler has actually outscored Jason Tatum in this series 78-66 while missing two of the 12 quarters. due to the injury where he didn't play the second half the other night. So that's pretty impressive there. Jimmy Butler's been a stud, and if he is not himself for the Miami Heat, I think they're in a world of trouble. Like, Bam Adebayo did a lot of the heavy lifting for the Heat in Game 3 with no Jimmy Butler. I don't think that's overly sustainable, especially with no Tyler Hero now, who's a huge offensive boost, sixth man of the year guy. So that's going to be something to monitor. But
I expect it to be 2-2. I do.
Yeah,
I expect Boston
to
win tonight. Do you guys think Golden State will beat these teams?
Yes.
If it is the Warriors, you think they're going to be champions against Boston, Miami?
I absolutely do. Now, I do think – I've thought Miami was going to come out of the East, although I do think that Boston has been impressive, was impressive in their Game 2 victory. I mean, it's just so weird to predict with this game, with this three-ball style of NBA that we're living in right now.
It's very volatile.
Right? It's so – I mean, we don't have close games anymore. It's basically like if one team's hot, it's just going to be a blowout victory. But I do think Golden State's been the most consistent team throughout the playoffs.
Big thing, big advantage Golden State's going to have is, are they going to sweep? Are they going to win in five? How much rest are they going to get?
True.
This is a physical series in the Eastern Conference. Guys are falling down left and right with injuries. It's going to go six, seven games. So, I mean, there's a huge advantage there for Golden State as well. And it's Robert Williams, the center for the Celtics, who missed Game 3. That is like, no one knows this guy, but he is a defensive anchor and really kind of the glue to that Celtics defense.
Yeah.
And when he's out, they're a completely different team. So that's another injury to monitor dealing with a knee situation. All right.
That's what the Mavs need right there.
Speaking of the Miami Heat, by the way, we have maybe the most relatable quote I've ever read from a now former professional athlete who resides here in the Metroplex, I believe. His name's Jermaine O'Neal.
Oh, yeah. Former Pacer, former Trailblazer.
That's right. And he had a couple of seasons with the Miami Heat pre-Big Three era. And so he's quoted, he's on the Knuckleheads podcast, and he says, when I was in Miami, and the Heat are known for a rigorous culture and being in shape and all these guys' body fat percentage, they check you every week. Pat Riley's a stickler when it comes to that stuff. So a lot of guys are like, oh, this is a little bit too much for me. Jermaine O'Neal was that guy. He says, they wanted me to re-sign. He's like, I knew LeBron and them were coming. So this is pre-Big Three. They wanted him to be a part of the Big Three. Go win some championships, right, Jermaine? He says, I knew LeBron was coming, and this is the realest thing I could tell y'all. You know that they got that 8% body fat rule, right? For a big guy, that's heavy lifting. He says, I remember going into the pantry at night looking at the Oreos.
Oh,
the Oreos,
let's go.
He says, the Oreos looking at me, right? He says, I could, bruh. I'm in a full battle daily on what I ate. And I was like, bruh, I'm 30-plus years old. I can't go through this. So he's like, bro, I'm too old to be having a debate on whether or not I can have an Oreo. So I can't do this bleep. That's why I left Miami. I'm
good
like,
for him.
This is the most relatable thing I've ever heard in my life.
Good
dude.
Like
for
8
him.
Years ago, the Mavs are trying to bring him back, right? And he started practicing with them like February around the trade deadline and the All-Star break. And he was like, okay, I'm going to get in shape. He took like 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. We're asking Mike Fisher every evening, when's Jermaine O'Neal going to play? When's Jermaine O'Neal? Eventually, he said they just gave up.
Oh.
They cannot get him in good enough shape.
Right?
Too many Oreos.
It makes sense. He lives in the Metroplex. The one and only time I've ever bumped into Jermaine O'Neal was at Lolo's Chicken and Waffles.
Let's go.
In Southlake. Yeah. Very on brand.
I thought you were
going to
say Cookie Section Grocery Store.
That would have been strong as well.
Yeah.
But Lolo's Chicken and Waffles, which is delicious, by the way. That's the one place I bumped into him. And he stands out because, these NBA players, they're just ginormous. So thank you, Jermaine O'Neal.
He's one of us. I hear you, Jermaine.
Yeah.
I have an issue myself.
He just became one of my favorite players.
Sometimes when I'm driving home, my car just goes on autopilot, takes me right there to Crumble Cookies in Town East.
You can't help it?
Like, what the hell? You know?
Oh, my God.
I don't know
cookies.
If you saw this week's selection. If you haven't, just and I shouldn't even be still watching these videos.
You're an animal. Well, Chuck, self-torture.
Oh, it is self-torture, but it just makes me mentally stronger.
Let's go. Build up that mental toughness, you know. It's what all the greats need.
I'm trying, man. I just want to be, you know, like you.
Well, speaking of greats, yeah, something like that.
You know, just
speaking of greats.
A Hall of Famer.
Yes. We are here at Texas Live, where the Pro Bowl riders tonight are going to have a draft. Many of the all-timers are here. We interviewed Justin McBride, a two-time champ, earlier on the show. The top picks are here. The inaugural draft is tonight at 6 o'clock. It'll take place for your viewing pleasure right over there on the stage. So if you're a rodeo fan here in North Texas, there's one place to be tonight. It's right here at Texas Live, where a historic first-ever draft is going to happen. After this one, it's just going to be kids out of college. you know, who have a chance. Right now you're talking about Hall of Famers, legendary rodeo boys getting set to be drafted tonight right here at Texas Live at 6 o'clock. We're going to pick up the conversation on the other side with ESPN insider Ramona Shelburne. Is there any hope for the Mavericks in this series, and what's their summer going to look like? It's next here on 105.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.